invite you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse number 15, our theme verse for these messages, our relationships, our relationship with God. The only way we can have a relationship with God, God Almighty, Jehovah God, is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're not saved, you need Him as Savior. We point you to Him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And we, in God's stead, tell you what He has commanded men, women, boys, and girls to repent. To repent of your sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. Without Him as Savior, life by no means is complete, and life by no means has any kind of future. And so we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, our Lord Jesus dealing with His disciples, and He warns them about covetousness, and He declares that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That's not how the Lord defines life. And it's a blessing of the Lord to be able to work. It's a blessing of the Lord. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes to enjoy the fruit of labor, to work hard and to provide, to use the talents that the Lord gives. That's a blessing from God, and it's His design. But that, when it comes the time for us to stand before the Lord, it's not going to be about the abundance or the little of the stuff that we have, but how we took it and used it, and how we took it and used it toward Him, toward one another, toward our responsibility. And so it all comes back to relationships. And here this morning, as we think about all of life, you know, we've dealt with the stuff of life in a message. We've dealt with the ultimate relationship that everybody needs with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. If we would take a look at just all the aspects of life and all of our responsibilities in relationships, and where do we jump in? Do we jump in as a child and deal with that? Do we jump in as a husband and wife and deal with that? Well, as I was seeking the Lord's face about what to do, let's jump in as a worker. And that's really kind of the beginning, isn't it? As a worker, our relationships with others as one that works. And Genesis chapter 2, and we've been touching on this here lately, and I guess it's because we need it. We know that we need it. And hear about the creation and the way that the Lord has created Adam and his wife and placed them there in the garden. In verse number 15, we see this, and the Lord God took the man, Adam, and put him into the Garden of Eden that he had made to dress it and to keep it. To dress it and keep it. Talking about a cush job. I mean, he had it easy. We had some yesterday at work day that their job was to remind us about how hot it was and how sweaty it was. And they did that job well. and we're thankful for them. I'm glad that they were here. But it was a warm day yesterday. You know, I don't figure Adam had to worry too much even about sweating. I think the temperature was just dialed in. Adam didn't have to worry about sunburn. He had it. And the thing is, it wasn't to plow it and to sow it and to plant it, but to dress and to keep it. Work is just a foundational thing of life, isn't it? I mean, that God gave work. He gave work unto us from the other side of sin and the fall. And so we need to embrace this of work. We all have a work to do, and that work is from God. And just as a side note, and we'll deal with this more as we go through the different facets and aspects of life, different stages of life and our responsibility. But parents, let us know that this starts at youth, this of work. It starts at youth. Proverbs 16:26 says, "He that laboreth for himself." This verse has always stood out to me. "He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him." And you know, the verse before that and the verse after that really are unrelated, as best I can tell. This is just inserted right there as a statement. And understand, this is a good thing. It's a good thing to desire something to eat and to work to get it. It's a good thing to desire something that is good, something we can use well in life, and to work hard to save up to be able to get it. That's a blessing from the Lord. And so when it is that youth are not trained and not taught right to have a desire for something and then to understand and pursue to work to be able to attain it, then things are short-circuited. Things are messed up. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse number 10, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you," Paul said, "that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Now that's believed to be pretty stiff, but that's from God. And that's the right way. And that's what we need to train our children up, to understand that work is good, work is not bad. And work is good. Work's a blessing from the Lord. And it's by work that we can attain, we can provide, we can have things in this life. And if we as parents, if we don't do that well, we can short circuit things and we can make a real problem for our children. There was something that was brought to mind about a young person. And this was kind of a young person that I know of. And they realized about the blessings of living with their parents and what their parents had attained and achieved and that. And they said, "Oh, my, when I move out, I won't have a laser printer to print to." That was just the comment that they made. "I won't have a laser printer to print to. I'll have to go buy my own." And you know, it's kind of like in that, those parents no doubt were happy to hear that the young person was considering about the benefit that they had of their parents, and that when they moved on and started where they would start out, that it wouldn't be automatic just where their parents live, because their parents had worked 10, 20, 30 years, however long that it was, and that this young person understood that when they went out into life, it just wasn't going to be stepping out on the same boat that they have been brought up in. Now, should a young person enjoy what their parents have? Sure. But we need to train them that they need to be able to go get their own. Because, listen, we live in a world of subsidy of youth is a ruination of youth. It is. I know a situation so extreme, and this is a real life situation, that while their child was in their home, this family, these parents went out and got a spouse for this child before they could even support themselves. And they brought that spouse for their child into their home and thought it was just the neatest thing since sliced bread. When the child did not prepare themselves to support themselves, did not prepare themselves to support another, and to have their own home. And that's a subject for another time about getting the order of life right. But this is one of the things that we deal with and face as parents, is to teach our children about work and how it is that they can attain their own. To attain our own is a blessing from God. In Deuteronomy 25, maybe you wouldn't think of this, but it is certainly related. And way back here in the Old Testament, as the Lord has given the law and what he expects of mankind, of the nation of Israel, he puts this plug in here and this directive in here, a command. In Deuteronomy 25:4, it stands by itself. "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. Okay. So the Jews would know, don't put a muzzle on the ox as he's running the grinding wheel. Don't muzzle him. What's that mean? Well, one would think that it would be good to muzzle the ox so they don't eat up the corn that they're grinding. And that's what would be. But the Lord said, don't do that. If that ox wants to eat that corn, let them. They'll eat what they need, I guess. And then after that, they'll quit. And if they want to eat, let them eat. And so the Lord puts that statement in there. Well, it's not until the New Testament that we have more understanding about that. And I'm always humored by that in its reference. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we see here the Apostle Paul, and he's dealing with this church at Corinth about his authority, his assignment from God to be an overseer of the churches. He's an apostle. He's an instructor, a teacher, one that has a pastoral authority, not only over one church, but several churches. That's a way I've never described it that way, but it's a good way for us to understand it. He has authorization and authority. He has directive from God to give his input to these churches to which he has to do with. And that's from God. He may not necessarily be the pastor, but he has authority to be able to deal with them. And so he writes these epistles and to them. He's dealing with them about his how much he gave of himself and the brethren that were with him and how they worked. They didn't require of the saints there in Corinth to support them financially, but they worked themselves, because there's a contingent there in the church that says, you don't have the authority to talk to us. You don't have the authority to tell us what to straighten out or what to do here. And so he's dealing with them, and he's showing about how much that they, even though they were authorized to require them of the Lord to support them, he chose not to, that the gospel would not be perceived to be with charge. Okay. And he says this in verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians 9, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? So, was the Lord just talking about oxen? He's asking this church. Or did he say that for you and me? For our sakes, no doubt. And this is an interesting thing about the study of the Bible and the Word of God, is that application, and we've got to be careful. We don't need to be outlandish, and we need to follow the Spirit of the Lord. We need to follow the Scripture. But here the apostle, by the inspiration and authority of God, says this passage about oxen in Deuteronomy was not just for the oxen, but it was for you and me too. It's a principle that is here that we need to know about. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt. This is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope. And of course, the Lord uses that reference of the fields being white, the sowing of the seed, the gathering in of the harvest, right? He uses that in the work that he's called us into. That he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth, that's the one that's getting the grain out of the husk, right, should be partaker of his hope, the one that plants, and they're partakers of the bounty of the harvest. And so that's the Lord's design, is that the Lord's ministers are to be provided for by those unto whom they are ministered. And so what's the point in our subject in being a worker? Well, you need to work to be able to get. It's the design of God. But if you don't work, don't expect to get. It's just that way. That we are given talents, we are given opportunity, we're given resources, and we are to take those and to compound them, to grow with them, and to be a partaker of the fruit of one's labor is the design of God. He writes to Brother Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5 also regarding this. And that passage, you know, that reference there to ministers is like, don't think in your heart that the minister is, don't think that your minister, your pastor is an ox. Yeah, there goes the ox again. That's what I think about that tickles me. 1 Timothy 5, verse number 18, as he writes to this young pastor, minister of the Lord, in verse number 18 of 1 Timothy 5, "For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." And so that's the design of God. And in researching this and taking a look as it is written, right, "For the scripture saith," it seems indeed that this laborer is worthy of his reward is on the New Testament side of things in Luke 10, 7. "And in the same house remain," this is when the Lord sent the disciples out or the 70 out, "eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house." Don't be beggars. But the Lord said, "In this ministry that I've called you unto, if they take you up to feed you, you're worthy of that and doing my work. And but don't go house to house begging." And so Paul makes reference to Brother Timothy, not only from the Old Testament, but from the time and the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The laborer is worthy of his reward. And so there it is. Work. We are to work. And for our work, for our time, for our physical strength, for the talents that we have, for mental ability, the things that different ones of us are bent towards, we can take those things to work and expect a reward. Expect our hire. That's the design and work of God. That's the way that it works. We live in a day today, and many young people just have their hand out, looking for what is this, basic minimum income. I tell you, we're talking about destruction of a nation and a society. Basic minimum income for not turning a tap. We've talked here recently amongst some of amongst ourselves about how this thing, this over a push of unemployment benefits, I mean, it's becoming a detriment to some states and some business sectors. And just it's a ruination, and it's bent towards this basic minimum income idea. God says work. And if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. That's the design of the Lord. What this thing of a handout does is it breaks down just the design of self-worth that God has put in a person. To work and to accomplish is part of what we need just in our mental state, because otherwise it will just turn into a blob of jelly, and it's no good. It is no good. And so anyway, I'll not wax political anymore if I can help it. But that's the design. And God does all things well, even towards us. So then as we work, we have passages that tell us about that. Do as minimal amount of work as you can to keep the boss happy. Well, is that really true? Ephesians chapter 6. Let's take a look here. The context of the scripture is in this day where there were masters and servants. And in our nation, we're blessed to be free. At least we believe we're free. I pray that we continue to be free. But we live in freedom to a greater extent to this time. And so we're not indentured. We're not bonded to someone. We voluntarily work. They voluntarily hire us. And so the language of the scriptures is different than what our situation is. Well, you and I, we would look at this as being an employer or being an employee. And these principles we can take and apply in the scripture, even though the reference is servant or master, we can take these and apply to ourselves. Again, God has spoken unto us about this of being a worker, like he assigned Adam to be a worker in the garden. We are to be so. And then the Lord tells us this about how we are to be so. And if we ignore this, we're ignoring God. If we take this and we just say, that's not for me, that's okay for you, but it's not for me, we are doing so before God. And we need to beware, because the Lord has told us in this relationship of being a worker how we are to be. And verse number 5, Ephesians 6, verse number 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. So we're to obey with fear and trembling. Now, fear and trembling, with reverence. Okay, with reverence, we should honor them in singleness of heart. And we are to do so, to be obedient as unto Christ. And so here we're to be good employees. We're to realize that the Lord is involved in this. This isn't just something that we go do with this employer and then the Lord is back at the church house somewhere. But we do this before Him and with Him as we go. Not with eye service, verse number 6, as men pleasers. Now, I mentioned earlier about teaching our children. And young people, are you hearing me? Are you listening? This applies to all of us. But are you ever tempted to have a time where you hear mom coming down the hallway? Oh, better get with it. I hear dad coming down the hallway or coming across the house. Oh, better get with it. Well, you and I always need to know is that the Lord is watching. And if our parents have given us assignment or a job to do, the Lord is always watching, regardless of whether mom or dad are watching. Eye service. Only doing well when we're before them. Remember the two sons that the father told, said, go work. And the one said, nope, I'm not doing it. And then repented and went ahead and worked. But then the other son, he said, yeah, I'll go, but never went. Oh, he said what the right answer was. He behaved correctly before the father. But when the father was out of sight of the father, he forgot all about what the father told him to do. We don't need to be this serving with eye service just in front of them while they're observing us as men pleasers. But we need to work as the servants of Christ, even when we're by ourselves with the assignment we've been given, doing the will of God from the heart. Now listen, all of us have had trouble at work. And we've had circumstances and situations that we would say our heart just was not in it. We were just there for the paycheck. But listen, we need to know that the job that we have until the Lord provides for the next is the job that He has given us. And we need to do it well. Do it unto Him. It is His blessing that we can work. It is His blessing that we have the job. Verse number 7, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, not to men. So really, the Lord is telling us that our responsibility in our work and our relationship with our employer, even our fellow workers, is we should take the Lord and put Him in their place in our thinking, in our outlook, that the boss, not to look at it as the boss, but this is what I've got is from the Lord and my coworkers that I work with. Again, this is all about relationships, isn't it? That it's like the Lord is watching me because He is watching me. And young people know this as you grow up. Get used to doing well now. So as you get older and you come more in the age of your life and in the scope of your life to have understanding that you walk before the Lord, better for you to do so now and have that understanding now than later on in life. Don't wait till you're 20 to where you realize that you operate and live before the Lord. Don't wait till you're 30 some before you realize and understand that you operate and walk before the Lord. Know so now that you walk and operate and live before the Lord. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord. What? Well, I'm not getting paid what I want to get paid. Well, negotiate if you can. Gain a skill. Make a move. Ask the Lord to help you. And realize that the Lord has blessed in this and the Lord has given you this. And understand that for obedience, the Lord will open up the next door. You believe that? We need to know that if when we obey in the first thing, then the Lord will give the second thing. We obey in the second thing, the Lord will give the third thing. He works that way. He will help us with the talents and skills that we need. He will help us with opportunities that we would desire or that he has in store for us. But we need to be obedient on the front end and what he has given us as we start out, if you will. The same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Verse 9, and ye masters. Well, sometimes part of your work is to be an overseer of others, to be a supervisor of others, to be responsible for others. Again, this is relationship. Workers to bosses, bosses to workers. Do the same things unto them. Forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. You know, the guy that's the boss won't get off the hook for bad behavior because he's the boss and he's got a quote unquote sorry group of people to work with. Won't get off the hook. Be very responsible for the Lord, maybe even more. And the employee, the worker, is responsible to the Lord on how they are before their and with their supervisor and their co-workers indeed. 1 Timothy chapter 6. There's also some here that we see. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 1. 1 Timothy 6, verse number 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their masters worthy of all honor. To be respectful, to know and understand who's in charge. Have you ever worked around, or maybe you've been yourself? There's always some that are there to always buck against the boss. Always bucking against the boss. Always looking to run down the boss. And understand, you can have good bosses, you can have bad bosses. That can happen. You have good workers and you have bad workers. But ours is not to be talking about the boss and bucking against the boss. Now, this is not to say if we've got real issues that we don't need to deal with them. You might have a department that's got a problem. And the people in the department have collectively got the problem and it needs to be worked on and dealt with. There's a right way to do that and a wrong way to do that. We always need to seek what's right. But we need to have respect and honor to those that are our supervisors and those that are over us. Why? That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. If we don't do well in our work relationships, we can bring dishonor to our Lord quickly. And then what happens there? We've got this relationship, worker to boss, worker to company. Boss, company owner to the workers. And if we mess up, we can take our witness of the Lord and just take it and submarine it and may never be able to get it back. And so we need to be careful. We need to operate such that our behavior not bring blasphemy upon our Lord. Verse 2, and they that have believing masters. Let's say that we as a worker and our boss or a company owner is saved. Let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. Brother Paul says, these things teach and exhort. And so if there's a saved working for saved, saved hiring and for their workers saved, we need to do well and know that the Lord is involved in all of these relationships, all these combinations, even for the saved working for the unsaved or vice versa. And the Lord has commanded us how to be, how to represent Him, how to be like Him before them. And we have this responsibility. It's not an elective. It's what we have from God about how to be and how to operate in our relationships. Brother Titus, and you remember him, he's given the tough assignment of going to Crete. And it's not a good thing that it's said about the folks that are there. And there's a church there. And Brother Paul writes to him too in verse number 9 of chapter 2 of Titus. And he says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. I mentioned about that one that's always looking to buck against the supervisor, buck against the leader that has been given. Back talk. If there's something that's wrong, if there's something that needs to be adjusted, if there's something that's not understood correctly, there's a right way to deal with that that's honoring to the Lord. But then there's a wrong way that's natural to us and just back talk. And the children of God should not be involved with talking back in a bad way, in a wicked way. And that's what this is talking about, not answering again. Also here in verse number 10, the company has got plenty and they don't pay me well for what I do. Therefore, I'll just supplement my income, not purloining, not taking the stuff of the company. It doesn't belong to me. And understand, too, is as workers, we need to take the substance of the company that's being turned into some good, the manufacturing. We just don't need to take that and think of that as an endless supply of material and tools and all that is just there for us just to use up at will or be careless about. We are to look, as the Lord's children, we are to look on the company's stuff as our own. As our own. And take care of it that way. Because why? Our Father is watching. He's watching us. And so it's interesting that so much is said about how it is, how we are to be as workers in the world. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. Have you ever heard? I've heard this from some fellows that I know. Well, we're not building a space shuttle here. Well, the thing is, I'm going to do a poor job today for the Lord. Let me do a mediocre job today for the Lord. I'll not do my best, but I'll just kind of do what I can for the Lord today. Is that what the Lord expects of us? We're to do our best. We're to do our best. That's what we're to do. Our Lord has been faithful to us, and there's no comparison by any other of His faithfulness. He has been so faithful to us. Certainly, we don't deserve any of His faithfulness unto us. And we need to do the best with the way that He's equipped us and the way that He's given us talents. But showing all good fidelity, to be a faithful employee, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Being faithful, doing the best that we can, shows a witness and a testimony of God and His faithfulness unto us. And that's what we need to represent, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. And then in Colossians, here this church receives instruction also from the apostle regarding this. In verse number 22 of chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers. That's very, very along the line of what he wrote to the church at Ephesus, isn't it? But in singleness of heart, fearing God. That this is a serious business about being a good worker. A child of God working for a company or working for an employer. This is serious business. This is not a nonchalant affair. But I need to do well with how I've been equipped and how I've been talented, the opportunity that I have. I need singleness of heart, not having my mind somewhere else. And granted, we have burdens, we have things that affect us in life that sometimes distract us. But we need to be dedicated in our work and fearing the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, as to the Lord and not to men, unto men. So when I go to the job or when I do my work at home, I need to do it heartily as unto the Lord. He's blessed with the opportunity. He's blessed with the stuff to be able to do, and even in our work personally. For our homes or for our families, we need to do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. Verse number 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. And so the Lord gives a warning here. That there is a reward, there is an inheritance for doing all things well. You mean, Brother Jim, our work, my work at where I work today has a connection to eternity? It sure does. Because the Lord has spent a lot of time in the scriptures. You know, we just don't have three scriptures that deal with this subject, do we? That's the reason I wanted to take many of them and put them together that we might see them. This is important to the Lord, our relationship with the Lord as we work, our relationship with our boss or our company or our supervisor as we work, our relationship with our co-workers and our witness. We work here on the earth and we deal with other people that we work for or have worked for us, and the Lord is the one that's told us how to go about that. And it is connected to eternity. It's very, very serious now. We need to teach our children how to work. We need to teach our children how to have these things in mind also. Because as we've seen several times, there is no respect of persons with the Lord. We will be held accountable for it, for each thing. And so may the Lord help us. In closing, in Romans chapter 14, in closing for this subject, let's read here about what the apostle wrote, the Lord gives us through him in Romans chapter 14. And this is dealing with the saints, okay? That's the context of this, is for we that are saved, but there is a principle that is here. And we understand and see that in light of these other passages that we've looked at, that the Lord is involved in our relationship with others as a worker. Okay, so I'm just wanting to emphasize that. May we get that. Our work, for those that work for us, or we work for another, the Lord is involved. The Lord is always the third person involved in any relationship. He's always the one that gives the instruction about it. We do so before him. And so in light of that, listen to what the scripture says here in Romans 14, 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and we don't, do we? No one is a recluse. We all have contact with people. And we must work. And if we do work, we work in the world. Even if it would be the trapper, in days gone by, the one that would hunt for furs and for skins, that would spend months on end by themselves and then load them up. Ultimately, he's going to have to bring them to town to sell them. He's going to have to deal with people. He's going to have to work with people. He's going to have to trade with people. There's no one that escapes this. No one. No one that escapes this. None of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And so understand this about relationships. God has given us relationships. He's given this relationship to us as workers. And we do so before him. And he's given us instruction about that. And we're not out there on our own thinking that we can do our own thing. But we are accountable before him. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and living. And he has the keys of life and death, doesn't he? Because he is life, and he entered into death and abolished death for his people. He has the keys of life and death. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's how we refer to it, as the children of God. We don't refer to it as the great white throne. We make that delineation of what it says in Revelation chapter 20 about the great white throne of the Lord. Maybe the same throne, but we will be before the judgment seat as the children of God, but all will stand before him. And all will bow before him, won't they? Because what's it say? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And one way that we will do so, or one aspect in which we will do so, will be in our work relationships and our work before our Lord. And so may the Lord help us that we hear the Lord, we believe him, and we put to work these things. May parents, may we teach our children about work and about what is right and what the Lord says about it. May we teach them and teach them as age appropriate, as they grow up, that when they come to adulthood, they'll have understanding about these things and that they would be able to walk well before the Lord and not go after the way this world is going, because this world doesn't want to take work and do it right before the Lord. They don't want to take the work relationship and have it correct in living life. And it's a destruction. It's a destruction to people, individuals. It's a destruction to society. And it's great accountability before God. What's our life consist of? Does it consist of the things that we possess? No, it doesn't, does it? Oh, possessions are a real thing. And the stuff of life is a real thing. And we need it. And the Lord knows we need it. Therefore, he's designed work that we may have it and obtain it. Relationships. And what's that greatest relationship? The greatest relationship that all of us need is a relationship with God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ, a saving relationship by him and through him. How can we work for it? You know, we didn't notice one passage, and there's not a passage about how we can work to be saved, work to be redeemed, work to be bought back. No, salvation is not by working. The salvation of the soul and forgiveness of sins and everlasting life granted unto the sinner is only by faith, repentance, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What he worked praise God for the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah. It's by what he did in becoming a man, living and showing his sinlessness, his divinity, his perfectness, he fulfilling the law of God completely. And then not only in fulfilling the commands and the law of God, but he gave himself as the sacrifice that's an answer to all sacrifices given in the law. He laid himself down willingly, died, was buried, and rose again from the dead, defeating death and the grave, and lives forevermore, and is the Savior of sinners. Praise God for his work, that sinners like you and me could be redeemed.